catacomb was still and silent. Ryan lay there for a moment, cursing beneath his breath, then pulled himself up, gingerly testing the injury. He put his weight on it and winced at a feeling like a white-hot needle lancing through the bone. Ryan had broken his ankle about 10 years earlier and could still remember the extraordinary pain that had seeped in after about 15 minutes. This time it had hurt immediately, which gave him some hope that it might only be a bad sprain. He rolled his ankle, gritting his teeth, trying again to stand on it. This time it was markedly easier, and he limped up and down a few times, his eyes scanning the main part of the mall for any sign of movement. But it was still deserted. Jack turned a blind corner to find his target, an unusually stout Sticky, leaning casually against a tumbled wall, his head back, taking a great gulp from his flask. Jack didn't want to use his .357 Magnum, which would bring every mutie for 10 miles around. Just for a moment, he hesitated. A year earlier, his automatic reflex would have taken over and carried him through. He would have taken the step in and crushed the barrel of the weighty blaster against the side of the Sticky's skull and put him down, stooped and opened up his throat with a single slicing cut from one of his many knives. But Jack Lauren had been a married man for many months now. Running a homestead in the wilderness of New Mexico wasn't an easy ride, nor was it quite the same as roaming through Deathlands at the shoulder of Ryan Cotter. The Sticky was so startled at the sudden appearance of the supernatural demon with hair of white fire and eyes like living flames that he gobbled at the mouthful of liquor, which sprayed into Jack's face. The alcohol was home distilled, close to 100 proof, and it blinded the albino teenager. One bullet went into the side of a dirt wall 300 paces away to the south. A second one was still rising when it disappeared into the dark forest, well over a quarter mile away, having missed the drunken Sticky by less than 3 feet. The third full metal jacket struck the chubby mutie high on the inside of the left thigh, neatly opening the femoral artery on the way in and removing much of the quadriceps muscle and the hamstring on the way out. Blood began to pour from the gaping wound, jetting into the sand near Jack's face. The Sticky was blown backward onto the ground and immediately became preoccupied with the puzzling affair of his own death. Jack wiped his eyes with the back of his hand, blinking through a sea of tears, and saw the dying man-thing writhing on the ground. Jack turned and was immediately knifed in the chest by Charlie's third scout. Down the steep trail, on the farther side of the plateau, everyone heard the echoing sound of the three shots. Dean hesitated and stumbled, nearly falling. He recovered his balance and carried on. Charlie had dropped behind his raggle-taggle army of Stickies, urging them on. The disorderly gang was whooping as they saw the slim figure of the boy so close ahead of them. But Charlie had also heard and recognized the sound of the shooting. He knew that none of the three men he'd secretly left behind carried large-caliber blasters, which meant they flushed at least one of their prey out of hiding. They charged on down the straight section of the track. Charlie stopped, considering calling them back. He saw Dean turn around and peer over his shoulder, as though he was looking for... what? Realization came moments too late. JB had also heard the noise of Jack's big blaster, and like Ryan, knew that it might mean some seriously bad news. But for the present, JB had to concentrate his attention on the ambush. The time was now.
Stop! Now!
The night exploded into a bedlam of shooting and tumbled death. The moon hung in a cloudless sky. There was a hint of frost in the air, and the mountains around were sharp and clear. Ryan sprinted toward the sound of the shots. It was so calm and still that he caught the sharp odor of gun smoke before he reached the scene. He came in from the other side, seeing the dead Sticky and a great lake of blood seeping black and glossy around the corpse's shattered leg. Ryan put his head slowly around the corner, seeing the second sprawled body lying still in another patch of leaking blood, this time from what looked like a stab wound in the chest.
Oh, Christ, Jack. No!
JB had gone around with the hot blaster, putting a single 9mm bullet into the forehead of each of the Stickies that had survived the swath of cutting fire. Every one of them had gone down, unable to return a solitary shot against their unseen attackers. The bodies lay wherever the dance master of death had discarded them, tangled and sprawled.
Got them all.
No, we didn't.
Dark Knight, of course. That yellowhead you talked about isn't here. Must have been him screamed a warning just too late. He's gone free.
Which way? Think he's gone up the trail after Dad?
Maybe, boy. We'll go up right now.
Sure.
And Dean?
Yeah?
You did really good. Ryan will be proud of you when we tell him all about it.
That was Jack's blaster we heard, wasn't it?
Yeah. Means there were stickies back up at the ridge.
I'll never forgive that one-eyed bastard if anything's happened to Jack. I swear it.
He'll be fine.
Christie's heart suddenly grew cold. The knowledge that Jack's attacker was still close by filled Ryan with a more violent bloodlust than he'd felt in many years. As he knelt by the still figure, brushing a streak of matted white hair off the hooded eyes, Ryan was closer to berserk-killing madness than he'd ever been. During the time that they'd ridden together, he'd come to love Jack, seeing him as the son that he thought he'd never have. The unexpected arrival of Dean hadn't really done anything to change his feelings for Jack. Glancing around for a sight of the sticky that had done for Jack, Ryan peered at the wound, placed the index finger of his left hand on the side of the teenager's throat, and felt for a pulse. It was there, faint and fluttering. The wound was obviously made by a knife, with a reasonably narrow blade, driven straight in and out at speed. At a first glance in the cold moonlight, it looked to Ryan as though it hadn't been done by an expert. There was no sign of the jagged tear that a savage twist of the wrist would have given to the dagger, causing infinitely greater harm. But an amateur could stab you to death just as well as a professional. The blood was still seeping out, and Ryan carefully opened up the boy's jacket, easing away the sodden shirt from the wound. It was a clean cut, barely an inch wide, black-lipped, that had penetrated from the front, slightly upward, to the right side of the sternum, sliding between the ribs. It obviously hadn't touched the heart, but there was a faint frothing of the blood as it oozed slowly from Jack's chest.
Oh, Jesus, Jack. It's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right. A lung.
Critical, and very often fatal, but not always. Ryan draped his coat over the wounded boy, trying to keep him as warm as possible. As he was tucking it around Jack's throat, his ruby eyes blinked open, staring blankly up at the star-sprinkled heavens above him. They didn't seem to focus. Then they became aware of Ryan's presence.
Stu... How many?
Getting no reply, Ryan held up one finger, and the boy managed a feeble movement of the head. Ryan straightened, looking around the deserted ville, wondering if the sticky would have tried to hide or run.
Ryan, don't talk. Keep quiet and we can get help. Notre's not that far away. Got him. Knife. Took me down. True. Hit. Not chilled. But he won't get far.
Then the boy passed out again. The companions agreed immediately that they wouldn't stick together. The main thing was for some of them to get back up to Bearclaw Ridge as fast as possible. It was Christina, slowest of them, who'd insisted that everyone should make their own best speed. JB had set off at a steady jog, leaning forward, arms pumping to carry him back up the jagged trail. Dean was at his shoulder, occasionally spurting ahead, his power-weight ratio helping him on the grinding ascent. But JB ordered him to slow down and keep with him. Christy was a close third, with Mildred fourth. Harold and Dorina started together, with Doc and Christina sharing last spot.
I vow that climbing a mountain at full speed is very far from my idea of excellent sport.
Harold also began to labor. Dorina let go of his hand to run easily ahead. She quickly passed Mildred and Christy, then overtook both Dean and JB, vanishing into the shimmering moonlight way out in front of everyone.
Hey, wait up!
Ryan tracked down his quarry in the abandoned bill, finding small spots of blood that glistened on the side of the blacktop. Jack had been right. His thrown knife had done damage. The trail led Ryan on, stalking through the shadows of Bearclaw Ridge, back toward the multiplex movie house. Near the rusted stump of a parking sign, Ryan saw the silver gleam of the leaf-bladed knife, the steel smeared with fresh blood. The sticky had obviously managed to pluck it from his body.
Oh, that shit hurts!
The voice was so close that Ryan stopped in his tracks, leveling his blaster into the shadows at the corner of the Sky High Mall.
Come on!